Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Things that I've planned and the things that I've purposed, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day. And by my spirit, I'm making the way. And by my spirit, you'll begin to rejoice. And you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day. For I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way. A new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I'm Celestial, and you're welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. This is the second part of a prophecy that the Lord had been building up to, I think, just a few weeks ago. The prophecy is dated June 28, and this prophecy is directly related to the one that you would have watched just a few moments ago. It is called The Secret Lives of Children. This is a graphic prophecy, even more graphic than the one before. Please exercise caution if you are in the habit of watching these prophecy videos with your underage children. This prophecy speaks to children of the age that can do these types of things, even children that are in their lower 20s who may still be living at home, or those who have freshly moved out on their own for work or further education. This prophecy was dictated to me by the Lord. So basically, he read it out to me or spoke it to me, and I wrote it as he said it. I was seeing visions throughout, and I will, where necessary, outline and describe those visions. The boys are taking pills and are drug addicts. They are functional rapists. They force girls to have sex to the point where girls are afraid of them. Girls are afraid of certain boys and their reputation. This is at the middle school and the high school level, not yet at the elementary level. The boys smoke drugs, hard stuff that they get from dealers. They know where to get them. They're drug addicts. They mix pills and prescription drugs to cover up their addictions. They know how to balance drugs to keep themselves looking normal and undetectable. Prescription drugs mixed with weed can mimic a form of calm. They can also balance out hard drugs. So God is saying here that males in particular are on a ton of prescription medication. For me, the only one I know is Adderall. That is the only one, please excuse the noise, that is the only one that I know of, but I'm sure that there are a ton. Many of these prescription drugs that parents have put their children on at a young age, they are addictive, and they're very hard for the children to wean off of. But God is here talking about children who are actually dealing pills. So I mentioned this young German boy that had an empire. And at the time I was writing this prophecy in June, I had no idea what God was talking about when he was talking about, for instance, the type of boy who builds an illegal business, an illegal empire in his parents' home, and is so meticulous with it that he can actually keep his own books. He can keep track of the money he's spending and making. He can keep track of all that he's doing, and his parents have no idea that they have a minor in the house doing this. These are boys who are drug addicts for the high. These are boys who are drug addicts to feed the habit that they've already picked up in their younger years. These are boys who are, they feel very much more powerful when they are on drugs, and as a result, they are very dangerous to their peers, especially their female peers. God says that girls are being raped a lot, and I will go into that in this prophecy. And girls are also being pressured to have sex to the point that these boys have worked up an impressive rape count. Their reputations go ahead of them. The girls know who are dangerous, and they are afraid of those boys, especially because a lot of these boys are protected by money. If they're not protected by money, parents' money, then they're protected by peers, meaning that they're popular or they're handsome or they're a combination of both. And so their peers know the crimes that they commit, but will not give them up. Sometimes these boys are even protected because of threats. Their father is the police chief, and the boy can easily tell a witness to his crime, even the girl that he has raped, you talk, I'll kill you, and my father can make it go away. Boys who rape girls. Before I go on, the last thing is that the Lord says that these children are basically cocktail mixers of drugs. They know how to take things like cocaine and then balance it out maybe with weed, or balance it out with some other type of drug or narcotic that can bring down the sharp edge of the hard drugs. And so this is a lot of your young male interns out there in high-pressure financial markets, high-pressure real estate markets. These people that are showing you your house, these people that are handling your investments, a lot of them are carrying serious addictions in their young 20s, their upper 20s, their young 30s, maybe even early, even middle 30s, because he's still talking about people who are children. When God says children, God sees all of us, even the gray-haired who watch this channel. God sees us as children. So that is the first part. Next, boys who rape girls. They seduce girls to make the girls trust them. They even offer themselves as boyfriends to make it legitimate, and then they apply nonstop mental and physical pressure to the girl until she caves into sex. Or they create compromising situations and then tell her later, but you wanted it. A lot of girls have lost their virginity, and even if they weren't virgins, a lot of girls have had sex taken from them because the girls of this generation do not have the wisdom to know how to sequester themselves from young men. Sequestering yourself means knowing how to keep an adequate distance of separation between you and a male that you are not married to. You're not married. You're not meant to be opening your legs to anyone. I will be blunt because the sins and crimes of these children are equally blunt. I need the viewers of this channel to understand. If you had a clue of what I look at, many of you would think twice before complaining and going on and on about, you used this picture. I felt so abused. Think of my eyes and think of my female single personhood. The fact that I don't tell God, you showed me this vision and I feel so abused. I'm not here to cater to the tender feelings of people. I'm here to let you know in no uncertain terms that even though I may be seeing these things live now, we will all be seeing them when they come out into the open in the future. So boys are raping girls out there, and the Lord says they're using a combination of seduction where they really work on the girls and they court the girls properly. They get her presents, Valentine's, cards and candy and everything else to really make it seem that they're a legitimate boyfriend. But basically, a lot of these boys, they identify a girl, especially a girl who has not had any sexual contact, and they target her with precision. They work out various plans with their friends, and I will let you know that a lot of the friends who assist in the first-time rapes of young women are female. Some of these girls were raped themselves in this fashion, and so they think, if it could happen to me, it can happen to Wendy. And they go along with the plan. But a lot of them are just girls who think it's fun that this girl will be put in a compromising situation where she will later cave into sex or be caught in a compromising situation because she did not rightly gauge how much appropriate space, how much appropriate, let's go and be alone here, let's go and park in my car here, how much of that was appropriate until she gets caught in a situation where it's now mind over matter. If the girl doesn't mind, then it doesn't matter to the boy. The Lord says that they use a lot of nonstop mental pressure on these girls. If you loved me, you would sleep with me. If you really cared about taking this relationship and for us to last longer, then we would do something serious that proves we really love each other. That kind of thing is what they do until the girls cave in, or sometimes it is simply physical pressure whereby the male is stronger than the female, and they can take what they want and then say to her, but you wanted it. Girls are shamed into silence, and they often agree to continue this type of sexual abuse because they think that's how relationships are supposed to be. They are put under endless pressure to do things that they are not comfortable with. They are victims of narcissistic manipulation and lies. So this is a man telling you, or a young man telling you, that if you really cared, he's bought you all this candy, he's brought you all these flowers, he always picks you up after practice, or after sports, and he takes you home, and now just because he wants to touch you a little here, and just because he wants to show you his love, this is how males will tell you that they want to truly demonstrate. Even though this is part of the male psyche, again, I will never cease to say that this is only appropriate in a male-female legitimized marriage situation. And so the girls are shamed into silence, and they agree, and they, after it happens the first few times, they continue because now they think, well, they don't actually think I'm with my abuser, I'm with my narcissistic manipulator. They think, oh no, I'm with my boyfriend, he loves me. This is why when adults finally find out what's going on and try to give the girl counseling, she's screaming at the adults, you don't know him, because she's been cooked in the head by what? By the groundwork that the boy laid in the beginning. The Lord says that they use accusation when the girl tries to pull herself out of the situation, and it continues in an endless cycle. When people try to bring the girls out of this, they will say, but he says he loves me. And many women who are familiar with emotional abuse, domestic abuse, know that this is what the abused say. And they're not saying it because deep down they believe that they are loved. They're saying it because they have been taught by their abuser that what the abuser is doing is love. If it sounds like I'm talking about a situation between a 35-year-old and a 33-year-old, I'm speaking about what children are doing in middle school and high school. But he says he loves me is the hook. And so the girl will keep coming back for more. These girls keep coming back for more abuse. And the Lord says that the boys who are doing this laugh with the other boys when these girls are not around. But the Lord says, I stand in the council of the idolatrous, meaning that when all the laughers are gathered, he, Jesus, is there gathering his evidence too. I hear the words. I see the deeds. I am the Lord. I will repay. These deeds will not go unpunished. Prepare to bury these sons. Now, during this prophecy, I was just seeing this long procession of coffins open. So you know how that you would have a coffin and it is open, I guess, at the funeral for the viewing part, and then only afterwards it is closed. Well, I kept seeing this endless line of sons to the horizon, boys laying in their coffins prepared for burials. The next part, boys share naked and compromising photos of girls that they get under duress, deception, and other means. Girls do the same to boys. Boys and girls are naked, and they do not mind being naked on their private pages on social media and in front of their significant others. They can have multiple significant others in a single year, sexual relationships, not just friendships. And they expose their nakedness to each other in unsecured cell phone and computer messages without qualms. So the Lord is here talking about this practice that even is becoming the subject of documentaries now. Boys going, can you show me a naked picture? Can you send me a breast picture? Can you send me a picture of your backside? Can you send me a front picture? Can you send me a full picture of everything? And woe betide that girl that is stupid enough to send a picture of any part attached to her face. Before she can cough, that picture has gone out to his 10 best friends who share it with their 12 best friends, who share it even with their older brothers in college. Because one of the greatest currencies of the young modern generation is the naked woman. These children are so immoral, and they're so hardened that they are not even like their fathers who were content to masturbate to a hidden picture of a strange woman in a magazine. These children aren't interested in naked celebrities, and they aren't interested in whoever these naked Playboy bunnies are. These children want to see the girls they go to school with because these children are incredibly wicked. If you don't know why they want naked pictures of their schoolmates, it is because when you see your schoolmate naked and then you see her at school with clothes on, there is endless levity in mocking her and saying, Jill, I almost didn't recognize you with your bra on. These children are, help me, Lord, pedo-masochistic. They are sick in the head. They get off on taunting one another, mocking one another, mentally destroying and breaking down each other. And God is saying that he is not going to let this type of sociopathic behavior that can do this to someone at school, and then you get home and your mom is like, how was school today, John? And he's like, pretty good, Mom. Thank I think I'm going to make the team. And you have no idea that it's a little demon in practice smiling at you, which is why when complaints come to the parents, as we will discuss, the parents swear up and down that it's not possible that their little male angel or their little female angel has done this. But God says that the time of the burial of the gods and goddesses has come. And he's talking about these children. So the boys get these pictures, and he says that the girls get these pictures too. Girls do catfish boys. They tell him, you know, I just think you look so muscular, and can I get a picture in your jock strap, and can I get a picture in this and that? And then they laugh, and they compare the boys' sexual privates to other pictures, and they also find ways to demean and mock him. And the Lord says that basically these children, they don't have any valuation of nakedness. They don't actually know what the value of nakedness is. They don't know that God actually affords nakedness a special privilege and a special place, and they just flash it anywhere. And he says that in a single year, these children are having sex with multiple people that they call their significant other. So as a parent, you may not know that the person your daughter introduced you to in January, she was done with him in 2 weeks and moved on to his best friend. And then by March, she's been through six more people, and she's just getting started. The boys have a target market to sleep with. They have a target number to sleep with every year, and so do some females. And the Lord says that they reveal their nakedness to each other, and these pictures are being secured, are being shared on WhatsApp. They're being shared on Instagram, in the private DMs. They're being shared on all different types of social media and on cell phones and on their computers, Facebook, and they have no shame. And he says, the multiplying of naked images of young people can reach an unbelievable peak in a single year, and here's why. Young children are sharing images of their nudity in their personal circle to multiple partners. So a girl may want to send a naked picture to her married boyfriend. But then she will take six and send them all to Jessica that she thinks is her BFF, FFF. Which one is the hottest? And Jennifer will tell her, well, number three. Go with number three. But here's the thing. There are six naked pictures of girl one on the phone of girl two. And girl two has...
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I think I got it now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Hope you can hear me now without the music. Praise you, Lord. I apologize. Thank you, Lord. Things seems to be not wanting to be working today. Praise you, Lord. Okay, but amen. We're all in God's timing. In other words, let his will be done and not our own. My brother and sister, we plan, and we said, you know, I'm going to do this, and it doesn't come out the way you plan it. And you cannot get mad. You have to, hallelujah, understand that God is in control. And if he wants it, praise your Lord in a certain way. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All glory be to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. I know that the word tonight will encourage a lot of you, or most of you, or all of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. He is an awesome God. He is a good God. He loves us so much, my brother, my sister. And all his plan is to help us, my brother and sister, to lead us to heaven, where we are going to go, my brother and sister, thank you, Lord, very, very soon. And when I tell you very, very soon, my brother and sister, hallelujah, I was shocked and surprised this week, hallelujah, that when I opened my eyes, I was not expecting it. I did not ask for it. I believe I asked the Lord to take me to heaven, but I wasn't expecting to be taken. Usually he lets me know. And this week, it was in the blink of an eye, I was in the wedding celebration again, my brother and sister. And this is my surprising. I'm going to go into the word and then give you details, because I know a lot of people are saying, we want details, we want details. I will give you details, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua, because God promised, hallelujah, are coming to pass. And the Lord gave me this revelation as a surprise again. I was not expecting this. It was not something that in my overnight prayer I was asking the Lord. I did ask him to take me to heaven, but it was to other part of heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And this time he took me to the chamber, my brother and sister, the wedding chambers. And hallelujah, there were people expecting me there. Okay, they began to talk to me. And imagine you're not expecting to go somewhere, and the Lord takes you there. You open your eyes, you're there already inside, and people begin to talk to you and ask you questions. You're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sister. Praise the Lord. Think about it. Hallelujah. You find yourself millions of miles away, my brother and sister, in front of a multitude of people, and they begin to ask you questions. I talked about this place so many times. I've been to the wedding chamber, but not this one, my brother and sister. And thank you, Lord. This place, I seen it from the outside, my brother and sister, but not from the inside, what the Lord took me into. And what a surprise it was. Hallelujah. The only thing I can say, I'm not worthy, but by his grace and mercy, Jesus says to me, remember, when he was taking me to the throne one time, he stopped in the air. He was going in front of me with his beautiful hair that goes up to his shoulder. Beautiful Jesus, Lord of Lord and King of King. And he stopped, my brother and sister. And he wanted to remind me that is not what I have done for why he had chosen me and using me the way he is. It's by what he did on the cross, he says to me. It's what I did on the cross. Okay? He reminded me. He stopped, like, let's stop here. Let me tell you why. Okay? Don't get any idea. Don't think that it's because you pray a lot, you fast a lot. It had nothing to do with that. The main thing here is what he did on the cross. Of course, he requires us a lot, okay? Which most is obedient. Obedient to God is better than sacrifice. So he stopped me to tell me that it's what he did on the cross. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay? And then he says, we're going to go into the throne. Fear not. I'm going in with you, he says at that time. Yes, Lord. When we got to the throne, that I saw the huge throne, my brother, as big as I ever seen in my life. I mean, I heard people that have been taken to heaven by God for many years, and they describe the throne of God. And they said, this is so big. And we were at the distance I may say over a 1,000-mile distance, but it was so big that I must have looked like an ant compared to that throne. And the Lord was right there with me. He said, fear not. He knew I began to shake. I began to, the first thing that comes to you is, am I really ready to go in there? Am I really holy enough? If there anything in me, any sin, anything that if I go in there, God will kill me instantly. Remember the high priest? I don't know how many times I read the high priest being killed before he came before the presence of God. Amen. And shalom to all of you. I'm sorry if I didn't say shalom to you. Welcome again, my brother, my sister. This is the exciting thing about the listener tonight. I saw most of you in the wedding, my brother and sister, because this is the future he showed me, are those that are going home. Okay? And I know a lot of you want to know, brother, was I there? Was I there? I'm going to tell you this. Continue to fast. Continue to repent. Continue to seek the Lord and live for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that can bring us there. Okay? He is the only one. And his promise are true. Amen. My brother and sister, his promise are true. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Praise your Lord. So please, please continue to repent. Continue to seek the Lord. Continue to commit your life to him. Don't stop. No matter what's going on around you and your life, your situation, let it be financial, your health. You probably have poor health and you're waiting at the Lord to heal you. Your finances are not that good. By the grace and mercy of Jesus, he is helping us to come through and make it there, my brother and my sister. Amen. So please understand his mercy. Understand his love, his agape love. Hallelujah. His endless love for you and I, my brother and my sister. That his love and mercy endure forever. Revelation 21:5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Of course, because true and faithful is he that will speak in the word, my brother and sister. Jesus is true and faithful. And he is the one speaking, my brother and sister. And every word that proceeds out of his mouth is true. And every word he also fulfilled 100%. So he is true and faithful. He had never been unfaithful to anyone. And he'll never be unfaithful. This is one thing about God. That God cannot lie. God cannot make you a promise and have you believe on it and him not fulfill it. He fulfilled his promise 100%. I know a lot of men has led us wrong, have lied to us over the years. Not God. He's not this way. Jesus is not this way. Hallelujah. His throne is faithfulness. His words, he is faithful. Everything about him is faithfulness, my brother and sister. He cannot lie to you and I. And when he makes us a promise, he fulfill his promise, my brother and sister. You can trust him. You can trust him with all your heart and not even lean on your grammar school, high school, college understanding. Don't lean on that. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's your own understanding. That when the Bible says in Proverbs, do not lean on your own understanding. It's what you understand. A lot of time, or most of the time, you cannot even lean on the understanding taught by your parents if they were idolaters. If they were in idolatry, you cannot even trust what they say because they probably taught you about praying to Mary, praying to idols. You know, idolatry, which is a great sin. No idolater, the Bible said, will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Paul was very clear to the churches. And we grew up around idolatry. Most of my family were Catholic in my mother's side. And my father's side, they were all Christian. But on my mother's side, they were Catholic. He married a Catholic young lady. And my brother and sister, hallelujah, he brought my mom to church, and she grew up in church, my brother and sister, okay? She learned about God through my father going to church with him when they got together, my brother and sister. And thank you, Lord. This is where I came to be later. I came to being born. My brother and sister, I promised I got to my father that he will give him a child that will preach his gospel unto all the nations. And God is faithful. The word has gone unto all the nations through this program. I thank God, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. God fulfilled his promise. He is faithful. My father's in heaven, and my father has seen God's word come to pass in my life. The Lord has brought me to see my father in heaven now in a few occasions. My father, I've been so happy to see him, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. But it's not even about my family. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and his promise that everything he fulfilled, hallelujah, everything he promised, he fulfilled, my brother and sister. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I know this is difficult for a lot of people because you still might be living among unbelievers, family. And they're probably making your life difficult. But continue to pray for them. Don't reject them. Continue to have mercy and pray for them. God can save them. God can bring them into his kingdom. He has all the power to do so, and he is faithful to fulfill his promise to you and I. I've been praying so much, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, my family, and I've been seeing them coming to the Lord, serving the Lord, and still I am praying for them, my brother and sister. Why? Because I want to see them in heaven. Because there are many things that can keep us from going to heaven, and sin being the number one, or disobedience, which is sin, being the number one and sin the number two, my brother and sister. Those are the things that can keep us from going to heaven. And if we are repenting these things every day, and the blood of Jesus is cleansing us from all unrighteousness every day, the Lord is faithful to bring us to heaven. I thank you, Jesus. He is so good. He is so awesome. There was something Moses said to the people in Numbers 16:30. But if the Lord makes a new thing on the earth, the earth will open her mouth and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down alive into the pit. They go out alive, vaccinated into hell. Then you should understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Hallelujah. Disobedience and sin always have provoked the Lord from the beginning. When Adam and Eve in the garden listened to the serpent, and when my brother and sister and got vaccinated with COVID-19, no, they went and ate from the fruit, which is being vaccinated with COVID-19. It's disobedient. Because in that moment, you got to ask the Lord. And you got to say, Lord, hallelujah, Adam should have said, Eve, I know this serpent is speaking. God made this serpent. But let's ask the Lord just to be sure if we should eat from the fruit. Hallelujah. And I'm sure the Lord would have said, Adam, what did I say to you in the beginning? That in the day thou will eat from it, thou shalt die. So what do you think I said? Or maybe the Lord would have said, Adam, I'm so glad you asked me. I am so glad that you didn't listen to the serpent and you came to me, my brother and sister. And that's what the Lord, hallelujah, is saying through Moses, my brother and sister, or has said in his word, my brother and sister, that we should be going to him, that we should be listening to his voice, my brother and sister. In Deuteronomy, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 25, hallelujah. It's exactly, praise the Lord, what the Lord says. If there be a controversy between men and they that come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they should justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, my brother and sister. And it should be that if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge should cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fall by certain number. In other words, everyone by the sin, according to the law, needed to be beaten, my brother and sister. But what Jesus did on the cross, he took upon himself all that beating, all those that were beating him, all that beating that he received on his back and his whole body was for you and I not to be beaten, my brother and sister. It was so horrible. It was so wicked what they did to him that when you see those movies and those movies they done in the last day about Jesus, you can see the blood on his body. And I said, we will not recognize him. My brother insisted. We will not recognize him. For his tribe, he may give him, and no more less, and he should exceed the beat him. This is under the Deuteronomy 25:3. Him about these many stripes, then thy brother should sing bile unto thee. Thou should not muzzle the ass when he treated. Okay, so the punishment for sin, my brother insisted, was for the man to be beaten for his sin. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. My brother, that was the punishment. And that has not changed in regard to sin. Because it's according to his fall, he says, my brother and sister, that has not changed. And that cannot change, my brother and sister. Sin must be punished. And it went on Jesus. But when man refuses to receive what Jesus did on the cross, then it goes on them, my brother and sister. Because they are refusing. How do you receive what Jesus did on the cross? And how do you refuse it is the question. That's what we need to talk about tonight. How do you receive it and how do you refuse it? If you live for him and daily repenting, seeking him always, you receive it. If you live for him, that you live for the Lord, thy God. If you live for him, you receive it. If you live for the world, if you live for your flesh, you reject what Jesus did on the cross. My brother and sister, then the punishment will go on you. Because remember, now your flesh, the world, have become your idol. Instead of the Lord Jesus being your God, your Lord, your flesh in the world have become your God and your Lord. Now your flesh has to be beaten on you. The punishment of your sin must be on you now, my brother and sister. So it's better to receive what Jesus did on the cross than to reject what he did, because there's a great punishment that comes for those, my brother and sister, that reject what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah. The wicked is very clear. Again, if there be a controversy between the men and they that come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they should justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Sin is wicked. Disobedience is wicked. It must be condemned. According to the law of righteousness, according to the righteous judgment, it must be. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Again, 1 Kings 8:32. Then hear thou in heaven, and thus in just thy servant, condemning the wicked to bring his ways upon his head, and justify the righteous to give him according to the righteousness. God will give the righteousness, hallelujah, a prosper reward, my brother and sister. He will reward the righteous, but he will also reward the wicked with judgment, my brother and sister. Because the judgment, when someone is being brought before him, it is to judge the cause of the person. If the person had lived for Christ, repenting, seeking the Lord, being him first in their life, then he is righteous and he is justified by the blood of the Lord. By what Jesus did on the cross, he is justified. But if he had not accepted, he had not lived according to the calling, like Paul says to the churches, then Then he must be punished according to his sin. His punishment will be upon him, my brother and sister. Again, hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servant, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head. This is what happened. He brings the judgment upon the head. The head being the leading of the body. Every thought from the mind to the body to the heart comes from the mind. In other words, the person makes the decision to sin. No one is making the person to sin. He thinks about it first. He meditates about it first, and then he acts upon it, my brother and sister. And that same way, the person gets condemned, gets judged according to what he's been thinking and according to what he's been doing, my brother and sister. His actions speak better than what he's been thinking. Hallelujah. Our actions speak better, my brother and sister. So they are condemned according to the action, according to what they have done, says the book of Revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Again, Proverbs 12:2. Here this is plain, the mind. Okay? Praise the Lord. A good man obtain favor of the Lord, but a wicked man devise, hallelujah, he will be condemned. Whatever he's been planning, whatever he's been doing, whatever's been going on in his life, whatever his action been, he will be condemned according to that. My brother and my sister. Proverbs 17:15. He that justified the wicked and he that condemned the just, both alike are an abomination to the Lord. He is righteous judgment. And this is where God wants us to be careful, my brother and sister. Because the question has been, what side should I take? Especially in regard to family, in regard to friend, regard to co-worker, regard to people. Even brothers, my brother and sister. We always, as we seek the Lord and we serve the Lord, we stand on the side of righteousness, justice, my brother and sister. And in a case, when you are being asked to be a witness, you got to stand in the side of righteousness, my brother and sister. Even if you've been taken to court, even if you've been choose to be part of a court case, my brother and sister, you got to understand. You stand in the sight of judgment, of righteousness. Because if you accuse someone from being black, even for being white or Chinese or whatever other country, my brother and sister, and you condemn them in court, when you be supposed to be standing in the sight of righteousness, then God will have to, hallelujah, judge you for it. In other words, a good man obtain favor of the Lord, but a man of wickedness devise, he will condemn. He that justify the wicked and he that condemn the just, both are alike an abomination to the Lord. See, the person cannot justify the wicked. Oh, she did it or he did it because of so and so. Be careful. Because a lot of cases are done this way in our court on earth today, my brother and sister. He that justify the wicked and he that condemn the just, you see, this is why. When you're listening to a case, you got to hear the whole story. You got to hear all the witnesses. And of course, you got a prosecutor and a defender. You have a lawyer defending the case, another accusing the person, coming against the person. And you got to hear both. Because one is right. One is right. Cannot come to a decision in the case. You better not support neither, my brother and sister. You better not support neither. If it's not enough evidence, if the evidence is not convincing, my brother and sister, you cannot make a decision to accuse someone in a case. So he that justified the wicked and he that condemned the just, both are like an abomination to the Lord. God will not tolerate that. He will not be part of that person's life. But not as it. Person totally needs to repent and turn from the wicked way. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. It's very important we understand how God runs his kingdom. My brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord takes me up in the wedding chamber. And the first thing I was thinking was, I was preaching on the Lord's Hour about this a few days ago. In my mind, as I was there, because I began to see my brothers and sisters. And my sister was dressed in white. And my brother was had all the wedding clothing, my brother and sister. And I can recognize you there. I can recognize my brother and sister there. Again, I'm not going to say name. I can recognize you there. And it was so pleasing to see brothers and sisters. There was a brother there that began to talk to me. He said, "Brother Elvie, don't you remember me?" And he says, "Don't worry. You got all the knowledge in your mind. Here, you'll remember everybody completely," he says to me. Because you know how people hear me on the Lord's Hour. Sometimes I say I forget things and all that. In heaven, you cannot forget like donkey. 100% of your brain, 100% of your mind you use in heaven. He says, "Don't worry, you cannot." He said, "Brother," and I call him by name. I said, "Brother, you had a cane. I remember you walking with a cane on the earth, serving the Lord." He said, "Yes, it's me, Brother Elvie. Look at my body, Brother Elvie. No more cane. I'm totally healed. Look at me, Brother Elvie." He was moving like a young man. My brother and sister. Here, he's very old in age. He's walking with a cane serving the Lord. But in that wedding celebration, I see him like a young man, my brother and sister. I said, "Brother Elvie, don't you recognize me?" Took me a few seconds. All the knowledge about him, he looks so young. Praise the Lord. "Look, Brother Elvie." As I look around and begin to see my brothers and sisters in that wedding chamber, thank you, Lord. Some I could recognize from before, my brother and sisters. I asked the Lord to help me remember. He's wonderful in that. And thank you, Lord. I began to see my brothers and sisters around. And their young body, beautiful, everyone beautiful, young, hallelujah, full of life and energy, my brother and sister. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's full of joy. And that's sister so-and-so. That's brother so-and-so. And I'm looking at my brothers and sister there. And it gives me such a joy to see so many of you in the wedding celebration, my brother and sister, because you never know who's coming home. Hallelujah. But the Lord showing me this, my brother and sister, it just gives me such a joy. There's so many are loving Jesus and are seeking the Lord and truly wants to come home, even struggling. Some are struggling with different things. You cannot point to one thing. They're struggling, but they're repenting. They're crying to the Lord, "Jesus, help me. I want to make it home, Lord. I want to come home with you, Jesus." Hallelujah. "I just want to go, come home with you, Lord." And that's what the Lord wants. He didn't call righteous. He called sinner. Remember that. He didn't call righteous. He called sinner to repentance. Because if he would have called the Pharisee and scribe and all of them that thought they were so righteous, what did they say? "Oh, please leave us alone. Don't bother us with your teaching, Jesus." My brother. But he called sinner to repentance. And that's you and I. "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm struggling with this, Lord. This is so difficult. I've been waiting so long, Lord. About 30 years waiting, Lord, for this rapture. Lord Jesus." We thought the rapture would happen back in 94, 95, 96, 97, 98. When 99 came, they started talking about the computer erasing in the year 2000. And we were like little kids, excited, fasting, praying on the word, going to church faithfully. It was like so exciting for the rapture to happen in the year 2000. That was 22 years ago. Thank you, Lord. 22 years ago, my brother and sister. It doesn't mean I'm going to lose hope. Lord, rebuke any, hallelujah, I'm hope thinking. We're still waiting. I'm still excited. We're going home, my brother and sister. And the Lord knows this. This is why I believe the Lord does things to me, that my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Because sometimes I like, "Oh, Lord, this is taking so long." And he knows, he understands, are struggling, are waiting. I have so many brothers and sisters in heaven. My brother and sister rejoicing. Hallelujah. And so much. And you know, I want to see them. I want to spend time with them. I want to, you know, I just miss my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother Raphael's up there. So many brothers and sisters are up there. My brother Larry. Hallelujah. They're rejoicing in the presence of God. Sister Chu Thomas, I've seen her up there twice now. Three times, I'm sorry. And she's young, full of life. She shared the gospel before she came. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I remember one of the last things she was talking about, the RFID back in 2013. And I went to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, your daughter Chu is talking about the RFID. What do you have to say about this, Lord? Please, Lord, I don't want to tell people things that, Lord, that how, you know, the information that we were talking about, and the Lord spoke to me and said, yes, she's speaking my revelation to her. Remember Jesus saying that to me. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Amen. And this is why I play Sister Celestial message. There's been two prophets here that I can surely tell you they're of the Lord 100%. Okay? Sister Celestial, the Lord confirmed to me, her revelation come from Jesus. Okay? Sister Barbara and Brother Dan from Healer 7, the Lord has shown them to me from heaven. Jesus loves Sister Barbara so much. And he uses her as an example. Look at her arm. Look at her arm. She had a stroke. Look at the condition she is. And she is so pleasing to Jesus because she's so obedient. She's so obedient. He is like, you know, when you are a father and you have a child that is so obedient to you and that's what you're telling him to do, it doesn't use excuses. Dad, but look at my arm, Dad. Dad, my health is not good. Dad, how can you ask me to do this for you? You know my health is not good. Dad, how can you ask me, Father, to do this for you? She just does it. And the Lord, I saw Jesus standing there looking at her, so pleased, melting for Sister Barbara, because she's so obedient. And the Lord says, look, other people who have their arms are fine, their help is fine and all that, they don't do this. I ask them to do this, and they won't. And she's so obedient, she does it in the condition she's in. And all the redeeming the people looking at Sister Barbara from heaven. Like, wow, she's an example. In heaven, she's an example. My brother and sister, praise be to Jesus. Because she doesn't make up excuses. When was the last time you heard Sister Barbara, Brother Dan? You know, because, you know, we work out so sick. We haven't, you know, I haven't heard those excuses. My brother and sister. They just do it because they love the Lord. They want to be obedient. Oh, and when they go to heaven, the reward, oh, man. It's going to be huge. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. They owe us so much, and people may ask, Lord, why did you bless them so much? Exactly. They're obedient. Hallelujah. It's great rewarded in heaven. My brother and sister, great rewarded. So again, going back to the revelation, Brother Sam, Brother Elvy, look at me. Remember me with the cane, Brother Elvy? Yes, brother. Wow, you could hardly even walk with the cane. Look at me now. Look at my body now. Look at me. Look what God has done for me. I said, brother, wow, that's amazing. You look like a young man. I am, Brother Elvy. I am. Hallelujah. Look what God done for me. Praise the Lord. No more sickness. No more. And he started moving like a young man quickly, full of energy and life and joy, like everybody else in heaven. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise. These are God's promise to us. Hallelujah. A glorious body. That's what a glorified body is. A glorious body. An angelic-like body. Just like Christ. A body that can go through wall. A body that can move faster than lightning and light altogether. My brother and sister, no more pain. None of this nonsense that the people are going through. My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. It's very important we understand his promise. And an everlasting body, my brother and sister, those that are staying in heaven that are not coming down to the great tribulation, I'm sorry, to the millennium, because a lot are not coming to the great tribulation, only a few, to come with me and to help other people, not much. And remember Jesus saying this to me. He wanted me to say this to you. About that most of you are not coming down to the millennium. those most of you that are going home are not coming down to the millennium. Because I'm sure the Lord said that to me, because some people were sad and maybe a little bit worried or concerned, which is sin, be careful. Thinking, oh, I'm coming down to the millennium, another test, Brother Ovi, how is that possible? Why do we need to come back? No. The Lord talked to me about this. He's very, to him, it was like an urgent message. That's what I feel. And he impressed the message on me very much. He told me this, to say this to you. You don't need to worry about coming down to the millennium if you have not been chosen to. My brother and sister, remember that the bride of Christ is special to the Lord, special to God, because the bride of Christ have endured, the bride of Christ have persevered, the bride of Christ have denied herself and obey God. Above all the situation we're in down here, those that are rejecting sin, the world and all that, that have committed their life to the Lord, even with so much struggle but still are repenting, that's exactly what the Lord wanted from you and I, my brother and sister. Giving in to the Lord, not to the world. That's what the Lord wanted. And those that have been striving to repent, striving to fast, striving to be in the Word, to meditate on the Word, to believe everything God has said, those that have been striving for that, those are the ones that are the bride of Christ, my brother and sister. That's why Jesus said, whoever shall endure to the end shall be saved. Persevere to the end shall be saved. Endure and persevere is striving. Every day is a new day. And every day, Jesus said, bring his own trouble, temptation, my brother and sister, test. Okay? And so much. And you know this already. With all the struggle, all the testing and temptation you've been going through, every day there's a new one. I'm sure you've been going through things that you didn't expect you would be going through them. A lot of people have lost their home, their house, their car, and many much, and family members that have died, even with COVID-19 and all that. It's been difficult. But God has been with us through the whole struggle, through the whole process. He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. He has not abandoned us at all, my brother and sister. Amen. And whatever you're struggling with, as long as you're crying to Jesus to help you with anything and everything, anything and everything, he's helping you. He's there for you. And that's what he wants. Humility is you depending on God. Pride is you not depending on God. Remember this. Humility is you depending on the Lord, crying out to the Lord, seeking the Lord, fasting, praying. Lord, I need you, Lord. I need you every day. I need you, Lord. That's humility, my brothers. Pride is you thinking that you're fine, everything is fine, my brother and sister, and you don't need to repent. You don't need to repent. You don't need to be on the Word. You don't even need to be a Christian to go to heaven, some people believe. What a lie of the devil and the enemy, my brother and sister, and so much more. People are on their horse of pride, my brother and sister, but like Paul, very soon the Lord's going to make them fall and fall on their faces with the judgment that is coming on the earth, my brother and sister. Judgment is coming on the earth, and all those are upon the horses of pride, the Lord, like Paul, is going to bring them on their knees to cry out, because many of them he wants to save, my brother and sister. This is why the church is still here. A lot of people have been wondering, why are we still here? Why is the church still here? Because the Lord has a list of the people coming home. And he said that he will not lose one. The good shepherd, my brother and sister, keeps the 99 and goes to the one that is lost. And he's going after the one now. He's been going after the one and going after the one. So in order to save that one lost sheep, he's going to bring judgment, my brother and sister, and get them to be ready, repenting. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to say to them, why have you persecuted me? Paul, why have thou persecuted me? When he brought him down upon his white horse of pride. There are many people walking this way. But the Lord has a plan to bring them down. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 42 things says, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. ye that go down to the sea, and all therein, and the island, and the inhabiting thereof, my brother and sisters. Hallelujah. Because he's making all things new. Everyone in every country, in every nation, in every island, what they're going to do in the millennium is praise the Lord. It should be this way now. But because of sin and wicked and evil and disobedience, it's not this way. Very few people are praising the Lord, are singing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. But what I saw in heaven, all these new creatures, all these new brothers and sisters in the glorified body, when the Lord began, and now all they are coming down to the millennium again. When the Lord begins the millennium, the Lord has a plan to use some of us in the millennium to evangelize those that are coming out of the great tribulation and those that are coming out of the valleys, which are in the millions, my brothers and sisters, and billions. I believe I shared one time, I saw about 33 billion people are coming to the earth. We have 7.5 billion right now. And I hear the foolishness and nonsense of these scientists and these people saying that it's too much people on the earth right now. Imagine if they get a vision when the Lord will have 33 billion people on the earth during the millennium. They will fall off their chair. They will fall off their bed, my brother and sister. How can this be, they will say. How can there be 33 billion on the earth? God doesn't have a problem supplying people's needs according to his riches and glory. He doesn't have a problem. The only problem is, will people believe he will? And people in the millennium are trusting in the Lord. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and I saw people taking buses, even those that cannot move, like the church, like the bride of Christ and the glorified body, and be in Jerusalem from the United States in just a second or two. As fast as you can think, as fast you'll get there, my brother and sister. From any part of the earth, God's church, Jesus' redeemers, those that are coming down can move. I see myself doing it in the millennium, my brother and sister. But those that are coming in from the valleys in a different place cannot do this. They cannot move at our speed. They have to walk. They have to take buses, trains. People need to help them, my brother and sister. The good thing is that all the earth is together. There's no sea in between. There will be main highway from the United States all the way to the Dominican Republic. A single highway. I have taken a car from the United States, that what we call today, all the way to the Dominican Republic driving in the millennium. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. And people, I've seen people taking buses. And they will be trained in the main city. My brother and sister, the earth will be fully populated again. You turn around, there's people everywhere. 33 billion people, think about it. You turn around, there's people everywhere. You're not alone in any second. You're not alone in any minute. The earth is just full of people, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And there's so many people worshiping the Lord. Every single, as I say in Jeremiah, in the new moon celebration, people are celebrating during the new moon. In the middle of the night, the moon is so light, so clear, it will be as bright as seven suns, the Bible says, my brother and sister. And people are worshiping the Lord in the middle of the night. It's so clear. No one is saying you should be sleeping, you should be resting. Forget about resting. Everybody, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's going to be so full of people and so much energy and so much youth, so much life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah, is going to help you. It's going to change you. And it's going to have you meet Jesus in Jerusalem. Okay? I'm sorry, I didn't understand what someone put in the chat room. Okay? People are going to take bus to Jerusalem and meet Jesus face to face. I saw this. I was in Jerusalem, and people were arriving from all parts of the earth. Buses was arriving to Jerusalem. The highway, the Bible talks about highways of holiness. There will be highways of holiness coming into Jerusalem. And people will arrive through Tel Aviv all the way to Jerusalem, where Jesus is. from every part of the earth, my brothers and sisters. And they'll meet the Lord Jesus face to face. And Jesus himself and the person of the Holy Spirit will also be there, my brother and sister. If you have any question, you can ask Jesus, okay? There'll be pets, there will be animals also. People will have their animals, will have animal, and will live and loose a lot of the time. They hurt nobody. I saw zebra. I saw all kinds of animals that people had, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In a dream. You saw me in a dream there. Amen. So, it's going to be so special how the Lord is going to make the earth, my brother and sister. I remember years ago, he showed me that there are people that listen to you that will not go home in the rapture. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He said yes to me. There will be people that will not go home in the rapture, but we will meet each other in the millennium. There was a special sister that the Lord wanted to show me at one time. I've been praying for her and her family, and he showed me her in the millennium. I remember telling another sister, she'd been struggling with so much in her life, sickness and so much, and she asked me, Brother Elvie. And I just kept praying. And one time the Lord took me to the millennium and I saw her there, my brother and sister. And wow, she looked young. I believe now she probably in her 50, I think it is, or 60. And I saw her there. She was in her 60s, so she's close to her 70 now, or over her 70 now. And she looks there no more than 25 when I saw her in the millennium. And wow, she looked so young. And she saw me then, gave me a hug. Brother Elvie, Brother Elvie. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice so much for seeing her there. And so are the brothers and sisters there too. And I was hugging them. They were hugging me, and I was so excited to see them. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. You're so merciful and good. And we gathered together there to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. And what he has good and faithful he's been to us. There was not one single person there that has something bad to say. Everybody, when they talked about their own experience with God, it was about joy and peace in the mansion that God has given them. Oh, you got to see my house. You got to see my mansion, Brother Elvie. The house the Lord has given me. It's a palace, Brother Elvie. What do you mean? He took me to the sister house. I'm trying to think who it was. One other sister. And she was there in the millennium. She had this house. It was like a palace. Huge. She had zebra, camel. She had all kinds of animal there that she loved, like a zoo in her own backyard. And the animal, she was very happy with them. They loved her very much, too. They were very obedient to her. She opened the gate of her house and tell them to go out and play. And they listened to her, and they all went out running. And she can just call them back inside, and they will come back inside. When have you seen animals so obedient this way down here? Sometimes you call your own dog, he doesn't want to listen. But in the millennium, they're very obedient, my brother and sister. Very, very obedient to their owners. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And of course, if you're one of those that just want to be worshiping the Lord, you'll have a wonderful time. God's going to visit you in your house every day. And you'll talk to him face to face. At one time, I was taken to someone's house. This person loved God very much. God was in the living room of this person with such a glory of God that the light that was coming out of the house was so powerful and so strong in the millennium that I could not see. Imagine a powerful light, more powerful than the sun. White, 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 like you cannot imagine white light. It was white because the sun is yellow. Sun is yellow. Okay? This light was white. It was Father there. In her living room, talking to her. For some reason, I was allowed to open the front door. I had such a great fear to go in. And I heard Father talking to her. The audible voice of God filled the whole living room, her whole house, the voice of Father. Like having a 10,000 watt or more watt speaker in your house, turn the volume all the way up with no noise or anything. My brother and sister, the voice of Father filled the living room. It was the most sweetest voice you ever heard. My brother and sister, my sweetest voice you ever heard. And she was talking to him via face to face, like a daughter and her father. And Father, and she, I can see she was the happiest. Not even her earthly father can make her so happy. She was full of his presence, full of his glory. Her face shined, more powerful than Moses when he went to the mountain, my brother and sisters. And she was there in her living room talking to Father. Hallelujah. And the conversation, I heard Father speaking to her. I believe she was asking Father for something. And I believe she was going to a special occasion, a meeting. And she asked Father for a dress, I believe it was. And she and Father said before he left, "Your dress, my daughter, will be arriving now." And that right at that moment, they were coming with her dress. A dress was under, like when you take your clothes to the laundry, well, depends what kind of laundry, but they put them in a bag inside. It's all protected. But this dress was like thousands upon thousands of dollar dress. Like people in Hollywood would pay for them. My brother and sister, some cannot even pay for them so much. Made of the best material. Beautiful color that I don't think we have on this earth. Beautiful, beautiful color the dress was made of. And it was packed. It was all sealed like a surprise. And they were handing it over to her. And she was stunned by the beauty of the gift. "Okay, my daughter, I'm leaving now." "Yes, Father, thank you for coming," she says. Hallelujah. And he's left. He was just gone. "Thank you, Lord." And I'm looking at her like, was she just talking to Father? "Yes, he came to speak with me. Oh, every day I talk to him." Huh? Father presence filled her whole house. And she, to her, it was, "Oh, I can't wait to see him tomorrow," she says. "He's coming back tomorrow early again. Can't wait. I'll spend the whole day with him again. He spent the whole day with me. Isn't he lovely?" I said, "Yes, he is." Praise you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. When the Lord brought me back that day from the millennium, my thinking is, how am I going to explain this to my brothers and sisters? How can I put this in words? How the life we're going to have, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. How our life is going to be with Father. He is so awesome and so good and so loving. He understands every sense of us. We don't understand every sense of our thinking or meaning or our life. You can ask Father any question, hallelujah, with him. There he would answer you. And you'll be blown away by the answer. The rabbi said, you cannot say that God is wise or this because he's all wisdom. How can you say someone who is all wisdom wise? You can't call him wise. He's God. Oh, my Lord, my God. Thank you, Jesus, for Father. Hallelujah. He's going to visit everyone who through Christ are coming to him now, who are speaking to him now through Christ. He's going to visit you. And people should be speaking with him now. Father God wishes to spend time with his children, one-on-one now. And they could. He has made it available through Christ. That's what going to the cross meant it. Jesus, through Christ, Jesus will bring you to Father. See, the mystery is that the Son revealed the Father. And the Father reveals the Son. You hear about, you hear people talking about Father all day long. And unless it's through Christ, it made no sense. They can talk about Father, my brother and sister. If it's not through Jesus, it made no sense. They may not know him, my brother and sister. If the Son revealed the Father and the Father revealed the Son, God have established his own kingdom. No one tell him how to run his kingdom. Looks like people down here want to tell him how to run his kingdom. They are totally wrong. He has said this from the beginning. Jesus is the way, the true, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He has said it from the beginning. And it's the only way to get to him, my brothers and sisters. Abraham was, hallelujah, looking for Messiah, for the way, because he understood, my brother and sister, who Jesus was. He understood, hallelujah, that the only way to get the Father, to God Almighty, is through Christ. There's no other way, my brother and sister. I like the conversation that Jesus had, hallelujah, praise to Jesus, in John, hallelujah, in John 8, the conversation that he is having with the Pharisee while his disciple was listening. Hallelujah. In verse 25, so then they said unto him, who are thou? Who are you? They say to Jesus, Messiah. My brother and sister, if they don't know who Messiah is, hallelujah, they cannot get to the Father, because you got to go through Christ to God. Who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I say unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak the, hallelujah, to the world those things which I have heard of him. Jesus has been sitting next to the right of the Father, listening to Father, my brother and sister. And every word that he heard Father say, when he came down, that's what he says to the people. Verse 27, they understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. There you go. When Jesus has spoken word from the Father unto the world, so many people have read the Bible and still don't understand that the word Jesus spoke were not his own, but were with the word of the Father. He was presenting the Father and word to the people, but they were not getting it yet. Verse 28, then sent Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. Hallelujah. Not only did the Father say these things to Jesus, Jesus also said that the Father had taught them to him. Not the word by word, as he'd been sitting at the right hand of the Father, Father has been quoting this word by word to Jesus before he came down to the earth to explain these things to us, my brother and sister. Word by word. Hallelujah. And he that sent me is with me. Hallelujah. Still they needed to see Father and Jesus, which many people still have not seen him. Has not seen Father and Jesus. My brother and sister. How do you see Father and Jesus? One way I'm going to tell you this. See how he lived. See how he walked. And see how he spoke, how he behaved. That he had mercy on the people, because Father is merciful. Remember, all that David said about in the Psalm about Father, how merciful he is, you see all that in the person of Jesus, my brother and sister. That the Father had not left me alone, for I do always please him. Every single thing that Jesus did while on earth, my brother and my sister, Hallelujah. Please the Father. Someone says to me years ago, when I began to read the Bible, Brother Elvie, read the book of John. Read the book of John. Because when you read the book of John and you get a revelation of Jesus, hallelujah, then you will understand love of Father. And some of you tonight, I will say, begin to read the book of John tonight. Begin to read it. Read a chapter or two tonight of the book of John. Forget about any other book in the Bible. Focus tonight on the book of John, the book of John. Remember the disciple that slept in the chest of Jesus, that loved Jesus so much love? My brother insisted. John experienced the love of the Father through the Lord. My brother insisted. And when he spoke about Jesus, he talked about love. Start reading a chapter or two tonight about, before you go to bed, about Jesus and the book of John. The book of John. Don't go anywhere. Don't go to Matthew. Don't go to Luke. No. Stay in the book of John and read the book of John. Get a revelation of him, of Jesus, a Father through Jesus. Verse 30. And he spoke those words. Many believe in him. At this moment, our people are looking at Jesus and see how loving and caring he is being with the people and patient. They begin to get a revelation of Father through the Lord right there. My brother and sister. And they believe. This is what your faith is going to grow. This is what your believer come into action. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. They sent Jesus to those Jews who believe in him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciple indeed. Let me explain this to you. There are two types of disciple. Hallelujah. Today in the kingdom. There are disciples. There are disciples that believe, my brother and sister. And there is a second type of disciple that believe in thee. See the difference? One believes and one believe in deeds. The one that believe in thee, it doesn't matter what they go through. They continue to believe because they are honest and they are truthful. Remember what we thought about a week or two ago about real repenting? What is real repenting? That when the real you repents, my brother and sister, that's when you begin to see the change in your life. If you just repent from your lips because you just want to go home in the rapture and you're just repenting, God wants the real you to repent. Which one is the real you? The real you is the one that do things in hiding. Hallelujah. That do things that you're not supposed to do. At that very moment, that is the manifestation of the real you. The one that like to curse. The one that like to hate. The one that like to speak bad about other people. That is when that real you repent, you won't do that anymore. You won't do that anymore because you'll say, wait a minute, that's not pleasing to the Lord. I should not be doing that. That's the real you. The disobedient one, my brother and sister, the one that truly confesses the Lord as the Lord and Savior and said, Lord, help me. And if you make a mistake, Lord, I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that I sin against you, Lord, against heaven. Please forgive me. Remember David, Psalm 51, repenting. That was a sincere repenting because his heart was according to all God's own heart, righteous, pure, and holy. In the moment any unrighteousness was in the heart, Lord, I'm so sorry. Against you have I sinned and done this evil before thy eyes. That's sincere repenting. That's the repenting God wants from each and one of us, my brother and sister. Amen. So, hallelujah. Then you will be my disciple, he says, indeed. Indeed is sincerely, truthfully, not fake, not like I got saved. Like some people say, I got saved the other day, so I bought beers and things to celebrate my salvation. Not the real you. My brother and sister, I heard a testimony of this guy that got saved and called his body to smoke pot because he said he had to throw a celebration because he got saved. He says, my brother and sister, God wants the real you. Because if you're struggling with these things, You need to ask the Lord to help you. You need to fast and pray and say, Lord, I don't want to smoke pop anymore. I don't want to drink alcohol anymore, Lord. I don't want to use drug anymore, Lord. I don't want to go to the club anymore. And you, in the real you, when the real you begins to repent, my Lord, my God, you will experience God. You will experience God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord, mighty God. He wants the real us to repent. Verse 32. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. There you go. When the real you repent, then you experience freedom in your life. You experience the power of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Lord in your life is real, because God is more real than you and I. How do I know? Simple. He made us. He made us, so he's more real than us, because he was the one who spoke in us into being. Let's make men in our image, and in our likeness he spoke, and man became to being a living being, the word of God says. He spoke you and I by his word from his lip into being. That means he's more real than you and I. You want to experience his love real, his presence real, person real, his power for real. It's anointing for real. My Lord, my God, you want to experience it. Thank you, Lord. I was praying early. My brother and sister, when his presence came on me with fire, we had the air conditioner on. And when the presence of the Lord came with fire, I was sweating. Literally sweating at the fire and anointing that came over my life. Just in prayer. I was cold. I had been drinking drink with ice. I was cold inside and out completely. The whole house is cool. And I'm drinking tea with ice. My brother and sister, when the presence of the Lord came with fire, my whole body began to sweat. My brother and sister, his presence is real. He will be real to you. If you are real to him, the Lord just said yes. If you are real to him, he'll be real to you. That's why he says, seek me, and thou shalt find him. If you seek him, you will find him, the word of God says. You want him to be real to you? Begin to be real to him. Begin to do real repentance. Take real responsibility for your sin, your action. Don't repent lightly. Those are light repentance. If I sin, that's praying like the hypocrite. God, if I sin in my sleep, please forgive me, they say. That's a hypocrite. We know we sin. Who are we kidding? Ourselves? You cannot lie to God. Remember, we're talking about God who knows all things, who sees all things. If I sin, they say, excuse me? God's looking at you. I saw you sinning. In your conscience, you know you sin. Why are you praying if? What kind of prayer is if? The prayer of the hypocrite. The prayer of the liar. Maybe I sin. Excuse me? If the presence of God in you to convict you of sin, you know you sin. You know, you and I know. So why if, maybe, God doesn't like those prayers? Now, if I read to you David in Psalm 51, you will not see an if or a maybe coming out of his lips. Look what you see. Watch me truthfully for my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Look now. For I, who? Well, maybe my father, my wife saw me sinning. That's not what David's praying. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin are ever before me. Does it sound like someone who is hiding the sin, who's hiding the transgression, and they say, maybe I sin, maybe not, or... That's not the prayer of David. I acknowledge, I know I sin before you, O Lord. I know. Father, I know I have sinned. I know. I'm not hiding it. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. Have mercy on me. He's not hiding it at all. David is a man according to God's own heart. God is honest. David is honest. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin are before me. Against you, only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. My Lord, my God. This man's heart is totally open to the Father. Totally open to God confessing his sin. My brother and sister, not hiding it, not justifying it, but confessing it, saying, I have sinned against you. Thank you, God. What a great example he gave us in his word. Praise you, Jesus. Going back to John 8:33, they answer him, we are Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage of any man. How sayest thou ye should be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily. Now, truthfully, truthfully, honestly, honestly. Notice how David speak like, Jesus speaks like David. Out of thy loin will come the Messiah, the prophet prophesied, out of David. Hallelujah. He comes according to David. He comes according to truth and righteousness. He speak like David. How David confessed his sin. So Messiah said, verily, verily I say unto you, truly, truly I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is servant of sin. And the servant cannot abide in the house forever, but the son abide forever. Why the son? Because, hallelujah, when the person truly repent, truly confesses sin, God forgives them, God cleanses them, they become son, adopted son, heir and co-heir with Christ. I thank you, Jesus. Verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah, the power of the Lord can go so deep to yank out the sin when you truly come from your heart in life and make you free. No demon will keep you bound anymore. No devil will hold you bound anymore. When the power of Jesus goes in, it breaks that bondage. It breaks that demon. It breaks the power of the devil. It will set you free. Who the Son set free, it is free indeed, he says. Thank you, Jesus. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. Imagine that. Supposedly, truly, they are Abraham's seed. But when they hear the word cannot abide in them. It can find no place in the heart and the body anywhere. My brother and sister, because in order for the word to find place in you, remember he said to the disciples, you are cleansed because of the word I have given to you. In order for that word to begin the true cleansing in your life, you truly need to be repenting. The real you truly needs to be repenting. Now, these people worship me with their lips, Jesus said, but their heart is far away from me. That's not true repenting. That is fake repenting. Fake repenting. True repenting is with the heart. Men confess it unto salvation. Paul says, it's from the heart. Truly confess, oh Lord. When you truly admit you have sinned, honestly, and you take responsibility, you begin to see a cleansing. And when he began to cleanse you, that power began to cleanse you, you will hear his voice that will say, my child, my daughter, my son. You begin to experience God in a level unheard, untold. You have an amazing personal relationship. Why God wanted me to see this woman in the millennium, this redeemed, who was having this amazing relationship with Father, was for me to see that it's possible. With God, all things are possible, Jesus said. He wanted me to see how far God can go with us if we truly repent, if we truly seek him. God can come to your house and stop with you. He can come. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. The other day, the Lord taught me this years ago, to take my house and anoint it and make it like an altar to the Lord. And when the Lord, I had said to the Lord when he comes, Lord, you know you can come here anytime. This is your house. But in order for a house to be make the Lord's house, it needs to be separated for him. We need to be careful what we bring into our house. My brother and sister, he likes that. He likes us when you consecrate not just your life, but even your house unto him. And you say, Lord, you can come to my house anytime. My brother and sister, because he'll come. He's faithful. There's been times that when I have awakened, he's standing next to my bed. Oh, he opened my eyes, so he's there. Oh, he just speak to me. There. Praise your Lord. And I love it when he comes. I love it when he comes. My brother and sister, he is such a comforter. He is the comforter. Thank you, Lord. Verse 38. I speak that which I seen with my Father. And ye do that which ye seen with your Father. In other words, they are copying the devil. My brother and sister, everything the devil has been doing from the beginning, lying, deceiving, and cheating, is what these men were doing. Everything Jesus has seen with the Father, righteousness, loving, and caring, is what he was doing with the people. He was totally different than what they, how they behave and live. He changes you from the inside. He makes you into a new creature, a new creation. He really meant that when he said, I make all things new, that's including us, a new creature in Christ, my brother and sister. And you can enjoy so much time with the Lord when you truly repent with all your heart, the real you, my brother and sister. When you truly repent, truly you experience the Lord in a level unto unheard. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham. You see, if you say you are, the work must follow. My brother and sister, it must follow. What we say and what we do must be together. If it's any different, hallelujah, pray for that person. Don't judge the person. Pray. But our word must follow our action, my brother, my sister. Very important. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me. A man that has told you the truth, which I heard from God, did this not Abraham? Everything God told Abraham to do, he did. Leave your land, the land of your parents, into a land that I will show you. It's not, Abraham, keep going forward. It's all the way to the right. It was not that way. I will show you the land. He trusted God even when he did not saw the land. He walked by faith. That's why he is the father. Hallelujah, our faith. Because he walked. He didn't know where to go. Specifically. It's not like in us. All right, where we're going, let me put the address in the GPS, we say. We know where we're going, right? You put the address in the GPS because you want to get there. That's not how Abraham walked and lived. Abraham did not know where he was going. But moved by faith and just follow the voice of the Lord. Abraham, take your Sarah and your servant. Take the donkey and your son and come and sacrifice him unto me up on the mountain. And Abraham, yes, Lord, took his son, took the donkey, and went to sacrifice his son. Obedient and faith to God alone. Verse 41, ye do this deed of your father. Then they said unto him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you will love me. Here it is. Do you love Jesus? If God was your father, you will love me, Jesus said to them. Do you love Jesus? Fall in love with him and pray that you're able to love him. My brother and sister, pray, Lord, I want to love you. I want to fall in love with you, Jesus. Lord, help me to love you, Jesus. There might be a lot of things cutting up in your life that is trying to blind you from loving Jesus, try to keep you from loving the Lord. But pray and cry to the Lord that you want to love him, that you want to love Jesus. Because once that burning love of the Lord is in your heart, it doesn't matter what comes against you. You will continue to go forward waiting on the Lord. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can hold you back. You will overcome everything. Love overcomes everything, the Word of God says. When you have that love of Christ in your heart, nothing can stop you from seeking the Lord, repenting, committing your life to him. When people make excuses about seeking the Lord, consecrating their life, fasting, praying, being in the Word, when they make excuses, they don't love the Lord. They're not in love with him. My brother, my sisters, I think about what Jesus said. For our eyes on him, his eyes is on us. And he wants us to keep our eyes on him. Why? Because when you are in love with someone, you look at each other. Your eyes are fixed on each other. And that's how, in that relationship, that's how the relationship grows. That's how you know you love her and she loves you. Because both of your eyes are fixed on each other. If your eyes are fixed on Jesus, every day looking to spending time with him, seeking him, wanting him to come for his people. If you are eyes on him, his eyes are on you, you are truly loving him. I thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. If God were your father, you would love me, Jesus said. For I proceed forward and came from God. Neither came out of myself, but he sent me. Who would I send? And he will go for me, Father said through Isaiah. I will go, Father. And obedient to Father, he came. My brother insisted. And he came representing the Father. And many preachers and people still don't understand that basic of the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. And he presented the Father to us through himself. He revealed Father through his own life, his own walk, humbleness and humility. He is humble and meek of heart. Learn of me, he says. Who are humble and meek of heart, he says. You learn of Jesus. You learn of Father through Jesus. My brother and sister. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Thank you, Lord. And a lot of people have problems hearing the word of God. The word of Jesus. A lot of people prefer to spend more time in the Old Testament than in the New Testament because they cannot compare the New Testament with the Old. And they say, I don't know, I just stick to the Old, they say. But Jesus is the revelation of Father to us, my brother and sister. When you listen to Jesus, you hear him talking about Abraham, Moses, and all of them. He reveals them to us, my brother and sister. Not one of them was righteous enough to go straight to heaven. Jesus needed to die for them on the cross in order for them to be saved from Abraham's bosom and to be able to enter. My brother and sister, and so it's the same with us. We come to heaven through Jesus. It's the only way. For what he did on the cross, his sacrifice on the cross, is that we're able to come in. Also, hallelujah, he didn't call righteous. He called sinner into repenting. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Sinner, you and I. And we're going to make mistakes. But as long as we're repenting and coming to him and crying to him for help, he's always there to help us every day. That's why he doesn't point to our life. He points to the cross. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, he says. the loss of your father as you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, above not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. No one have explained the devil so well like Jesus. Everything you need to know about the devil, it is explained in John 8:44. Everything about the devil here. He is a father, hallelujah, your father the devil, the loss of your father, ye will do. Notice how the loss is in the flesh. The devil and the flesh are very good bodies. That's why we need to fast, my brothers and sisters. If you don't fast to humble yourself before the Lord, to commit your flesh in humility to God through fasting, your flesh will take over your thinking, your emotion, your desire, and you will be lusting all day long. You have no. Some people say, when I go to pray, I can't pray. Thought keeps coming into my mind. It's a rebuke them. That's the devil using your flesh to keep you occupied, your mind occupied. No, my brother and sister, learn to overcome these things. Take captive all thoughts of the evil one. My brother and sister, to Christ. Praise your Lord. He was a murderer from the beginning. So how can you get any good from a murderer? Especially from the beginning. From Genesis, let's say, on. He's been murdering people, killing people, exterminating humanity. My brother and sister, bringing sin and all kinds of wickedness upon humanity. That's what the devil does from the beginning. He above not in the truth. He had nothing to do with God. He doesn't abide with God. God's presence is not in him anymore for a long, long time. He doesn't know what true is. He is a father of lies. Because there's no truth in him. Well, he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own. For he is a liar and a father of it. Everything about the devil is lies, lies, lies. My brother and sister, he wishes to lie and deceive everyone the same. Verse 45, because I tell you the truth, and ye believe me not. He is the problem. He is the problem. The truth of God going forward from the beginning, and after he went to the cross, and people believe it not. My brother and sister, you can talk today to any billionaire, any famous, go talk to these people about the Lord, and they tell they don't have time for it. They believe not in him, my brother and sister, but in the riches and the stomach and the lies, my brother and sister. When they shall be focused on him that give them eternal life. When this life ends, and it's going to end soon, whoever is not believing in Christ and committed their life to the Lord, it's going to be thrown in hell, my brother and sister. In hell, this is why hell is enlarging itself. I see hell enlarging itself, my brother and sister. Emptying up space for those that are coming down from the earth. Because there's so many billions who don't believe in Christ that hell knows. Hell has a place for them already for punishment and torment, my brother and sister. But the Lord don't want them to end up in hell. He doesn't want them to end up in hell. It is out of their own choice, Jesus said to me. Out of their own choosing, he says to me in the entrance of hell. Not long ago when he brought me down. My brother and sister. It's terrible. Terrible. When this economy falls, God forbid, and just pray for people and nations. Many will take on their own life. It's already people losing millions and billions. Over $10 trillion. Dollar were lost last year from the stock market. And there's so much coming to be lost. My brother and sister, many will take on their lives. Many are believing that the stock market is going to restore again and become strong and all that. They are believing in lies and deceit. Because the Lord has said, and even confirmed it through his prophet many times, this stock market is going to fall. My brother and sister. And it's not going to recover anymore. God has said it. God has spoken it. And it's only a matter of times when the word of God is fulfilled 100%. Anyone investing in the stock market right now is walking like the five foolish virgins. They're going to lose everything, and even their own salvation, my brother, my sister. It's terrible how people are trusting in men, in money, in the world, in their own knowledge. They trust, they're leaning on their own understanding, that their own scientists and governments and engineers and so much more are going to deliver them from the stock market falling and so much more. And when they realize, when they're in the middle, when this market has fallen and the government is taking everyone's gold, the government is going to take the bank's gold first. They're going to send the army for through everyone's homes to take the gold. United States economy had done this back in the early 1900s. This had happened once. They had confiscated everyone gold, and they're going to do it again. People that are investing in gold and silver and all those nonsense are going to lose all of that. You saw that when the stock market came down a couple of months ago, Bitcoin came down also. People thought that Bitcoin was untouchable, my brother and sister. And yes, Bitcoin is going to go up over 100,000. But a lot of people don't know the government can take it away from them also, my brother and sister. Congress is ready to pass legislation, law against Bitcoin in the United States. They want to control it. That means that if people have too much money in Bitcoin, the economy falls, they're going to take away that money from them also, my brother and sister. They want to have control everything that people have. This is why the Lord is telling people to trust him and trust him only. Because if you're trusting in this system, you're going to lose everything. What happens when you go to the bank account and it's zero and you have nothing for you to purchase anything and you have not put your trust in the Lord, who can supply your need, who can do miracle for you? And you can pray for food. You can put an empty pot on your table and say, Lord, the food that my family and I need today, make it appear right now in the name of Jesus. And the whole pot is full of fresh food. Like the people in the wilderness receive fresh manna from heaven. Whatever you want to eat in the pot that day, if it's chicken, if it's beef, if it's fish, I will ask you to pray for fish better. And salmon, and you want to eat salmon, a really fresh salmon cooked to perfection in heaven. And the Lord making that salmon appear on your table right there, nice and cooked by the Lord himself. And a pot of anything vegetable, a mix of vegetable, freshly cooked in heaven, appear right there next to your salmon. If you want a little bit of rice, a little pot of rice also right there next to it. And if you like a mix of beans, another pot of bean there. If you enjoy a nice soup, you know, some people like to eat a soup before they eat, then also pray for a nice bowl of soup there to appear right there on your table. Praise the Lord. And if you don't want to drink soda, which I don't want to buy soda for my children or myself, hallelujah, maybe a jar of water or a jar of juice from heaven with nothing, no sugar, nothing that will harm your body, and just your juice appear right there, and you'll enjoy that great meal, and the Lord can do this every day. Of course, you don't want to eat salmon every day, but the Lord can make fish appear on your table every day after that, while people in the world are robbing other people, and they're going crazy, and what are we going to eat, and what am I going to do? And they're going crazy and they're killing one another. You're locked in your house, praying and seeking the Lord, reading his word. And every time you're hungry after your fasting, you put your hand on your empty pot or you lay pot or whatever you want the Lord to make the food appear. You wash all your pot and you put them on the table. You cover your pot. But this is by faith. And you raise your hand over your pot. And you begin to pray. And when you finish praying, you open your pot, they're all full of food, nice and hot, fresh. The most fresh food you ever ate in your life. And the Lord can do that every day of your life. God wants us to have this kind of faith in Christ. With God, all things are possible. My brother and sister, he wants us to walk by faith. And he is going to unleash this power and anointing in the days to come for this to happen. If you are asking for it, he's going to give you the gift and the anointing to do that, to lay your hand on empty pot and appear full of food. Whatever you like to eat, whatever is your special meal that you like to eat, you're going to lay your hand on your empty pot. It will appear full. He's ready to release his anointing and power. Not many people have it, but he's ready to do so in the days to come. When the economy falls, many of us will have that anointing and gifting from the Lord to do this every day. You never have to worry about purchasing food. In heaven, no one worries about purchasing food. Oh, I need food. I need to go to the market. None. I just heard the Lord say yes. No one worries about these things, because with God, all things are possible. Remember the day Father took me to that New Jerusalem? He was speaking to me. And then he said, I have all this for my children. When I look, all these gifts that were not there a second ago, he speaks them things into being. Jesus said, I do what I saw my Father do. We are to be doing the same. God wants us to have this type of faith. And he's going to release in the days to come this anointing and these gifts for us to have for our inner family and brothers and sisters. We can call a group of brother and a group of sister in a house and have a large table. Make sure you have a lot of share. I've been buying share in my house. I have 7 or 8 share in my house. I still need to buy more, maybe 10, 12, 18, 20 share. My brother and sister, we need to have a lot of share. And our table needs to be big. Mine can probably sit 7 or 8 people around. We should have bigger. I believe the next house the Lord is taking us to, he promised, I'm going to have a large, large table for probably 20 or more. Because when the stock market falls, I want to be praying for food to appear. And we're all going to eat the best food ever, the freshest food ever. While everyone is worried, we're eating the fresh. We're eating the best. Juice, the best food from heaven, my brother and sister. So please ask the Lord. Pray to the Lord that he will anoint you and gift you for the days to come, because we need it. And then you can feed other people with the extra food, my brother and sister. This is the great thing about the Lord using us. We're here for a purpose, you and I. We're here for a purpose. And we need to be gifted and anointed by the Lord to do this. And he's going to trust us to do this. But it has to be done for his glory. And the moment he does the miracle, we thank him. Thank you, Lord. You don't right away eat, oh, I'm so hungry. No. You thank the Lord. Let's take a minute to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the food, Lord, that you are giving us, Lord. The food that you will provide. The miracle of food over our table, over our empty pot. You're going to fill our table. You're going to fill our house. You're going to anoint us. You're going to gift us, Lord, for this miracle of food in the days to come. In Jesus' name, we believe it. And we receive it, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for this miracle. We thank you for the food, the delicious food you're giving us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You see, praise you, Lord. He is gifting us. He is anointing us for this. You want to be one of them. You want to be a family that support many other people with the miracle of the Lord. Not just you, oh, I'm so hungry, I got to eat. Stop thinking about yourself. Think about other people that needs to eat, that don't have the faith, don't have the gifting, don't have the anointing. I know you have a wife, you have a husband, and you have children. Amen. And God knows you need to eat and they need to eat. Now don't just think about you and your family. Think about our neighbors that will come and knock on your door and say, do you have something to eat that you can share with me? And you say, oh, yeah, yes, neighbor, no problem. Come every day at this time and I'll share my food with you. Every day. Comes every day, 7 days a week. At this time, after my fasting, and then share the Lord with them. The days are coming like the days of Elisha. A lot of people hear about the days of Elisha, but they ignore what God did to the prophet Elisha. Elisha, every day, God was doing miracles to him. Miracle of food, miracle of oil, miracle, whatever Elisha needed, God provided him with miracle all his life. So when you hear about the days of Elisha, that the days of Elisha are coming back for God's people, it's the day of miracle, a provision. When there's nothing in our table, when there's nothing in our house, when Elisha was sent to the widow's house, she had no food, she had no oil, she didn't have abundance, she only had one meal and then died, she says. You imagine a situation when a person has one meal and is thinking had no other way to cultivate food, to get food. There's no way to go to the market, there's no food in the market. But Elisha was sent to her house. And God knew that this woman did not have the faith, but God has mercy on her. Elisha had the faith. She didn't have the faith. Elisha was gifted. He had the anointing. He had the gift for miracle in his life, my brother and sister. So God has to send a man, or you the woman, who has the gift, who has the anointing, into someone's home, into someone's life, who doesn't have it. Because you've been pressed, you've been fasting, you've been praying for God to give you the anointing, for God to give you the gifting, for miracle, for food. You've been doing that. So God's given it to you. You have it. So when you end up in someone else's home, like Elisha in the widow's house, what happened? Oh, calm, lady. Come. Calm down. Calm down. Oh, sister, oh, brother, didn't you see the stock market fall? We had no job. Didn't you see the people are looting? There's no food in the stock market. What are we going to do? Calm down, calm down. God is in control. God is in his throne. God is providing us. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Thank you, Jesus. God will deliver you, my friend. Hallelujah. But how? I don't see how. There's no job. There's no work. All the companies are closed down. What's happening? A lot of people don't know. There's been thousands of companies right now since 2001 in the United States closing their doors, walking away from the United States also. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't research this information, my brother and sister. They don't. Praise your Lord. The link I gave you from the brother, he put two videos after that, and he was saying in the last one, it's worse now than what it was a few weeks ago. The stock market is worse now. Some states are going into the red of people losing homes to the banks, foreclosure, and so much more. And this is not just in the United States. This will be in Canada. Canada had to raise the interest a few weeks ago because they're being affected financially so high that they had to raise the interest, my brother and sister, on people. But the economy was not good enough already in Canada for the government to raise the interest, my brother and sister. So Canada economy is also heading down. European economy is already heading down. In many other country economy are heading down and down and down, my brother and sister. God wants us to trust in him only. And when all these economies hit rock bottom, when they hit bottom, it's it. The shooting, the looting, the martial law that God showed me years ago that was coming to the United States and the world, it's hot. It's ready. Listen. When Obama was in office, he made sure that every single president for all these countries that met with him in Geneva would get ready for what is coming. He didn't know when, but he knows it's coming. That's why he started with Bitcoin. That's why he financed Bitcoin in China, my brother and sister Moore. He prepared all female camps to get everyone to FEMA camps. And he talked to all the president. There were president there from Colombia, president, representative from Canada, all president from all the world meeting with Obama to get ready to when this economy fall, my brother and my sister. Okay? When it fall, he was hoping it was going to completely go years ago, but God says to me, he is in control, the Lord says, and he says when the economy is going to fall. So it's going to fall when God says it's going to fall. Not when men say it's going to fall. Not when the devil says it's going to fall. It's when God says the economy is going to fall. It's going to fall. And now the Lord is sounding the alarm through his prophet. The economy is going to fall. My brother and sister, remember when he said it to me. Hallelujah. So preparations needs to be done for this economy to fall. Because when it completely goes down, it's going to go down completely. The Lord God is so merciful that it's been going down slowly. The Democrat and the Republican think that they're the one keeping the economy, and they're both wrong. It's God keeping the economy. So when God says, all right, the only reason why things is falling slow is because of us, because God is having mercy. His children are still here. The Lord's bride is still here. So he's not going to let it fall immediately. Of course not. It will hurt his bride. He's still getting his bride ready. He's still gifting and anointing his bride. So when it's fall, I wish more people will seek to be anointed and gifted. So when the economy fall, people will see the mighty hand of God, like Moses says. See the mighty hand of God when he opened the sea. My brother and sister, they'll see the mighty hand of God when God provides food for 20, for 40, for 200, for 2,000, for 5,000, for 20,000, for 100,000, 250,000 and more. When people see the mighty hand of God in the days to come, they're going to worship him. And they say, we were so blind. We've been backsliding all this year. Instead of being committing a life to God, look what God is doing now. I could have been be a vessel that God will use to be multiplying food. Look, God is using this person to do it, that people make fun of them. My brother and sister, people that are making fun of the church and mocking the church don't know that the church in the last days will be the support that God is going to use, doing miracle to her, or making food appear, clothing appear, and much more. My brother and sister, it was going to be through the church. It's going to be through his children that God is going to do these things. My brother and sister, when the children of Israel made it to the promised land that God promised them, hallelujah, a land that flowed with milk and honey, when they made it, when those children made it, they had complete health. They had good clothing. Their clothes and shoes never aged. My brother and sister, not one day they aged. Good clothing, good shoes, a lot of gold, a lot of silver, and a lot of animals. My brother and sister, they were more wealthy than all the nations around them. My brother and sister, and still, you go to Israel today, Israel has, hallelujah, more company in Tel Aviv alone than most of all the rest of the country around the world. My brother and sister, their economy right now is more stronger than many other nations right now. My brother and sister, it started in 1948. It's a nation less than 100 years of age now, and it has a stronger market than many other nations. It has more gas, more oil than most the rest of the world. The rest of the world are fighting for oil and gas and so much more. And Israel has more abundant all of them, and it's taking it easy. It's growing more food right now in the desert, more than the rest of the nation. Israel is providing hundreds of tons of food to Europe, including food to the United States coming from Israel. My brother and sister, they have more abundance than any other nation right now by the promise of God. But they are not the one that God has chosen to provide the need of the people. It is you and I, the church. Before we go home, we're going to see the mighty hand of God. The God that was backing up Moses and the children of Israel never saw so much miracle through the hand of Moses. Now it is our turn. It is our time, my brother and sister. This world have not seen the miracle ever. There have not been miracle reading in the Bible as the miracle that God's going to do through our hand in the days to come. When Jesus glorified our body and he sent us in the revival around the world, this earth had never had registered and seen the millions upon millions of miracles and signs and wonder that they are going to experience, my brother and sister, through our hand, from our God Almighty, my brother and sister. They are going to see the true power of God, the true delivering power of God, the true anointing. We're going to call the death become alive. We're going to call hand, feet to come out. People that are missing hand, we're going to order the hand to come out. People that are missing leg, we're going to order the leg to come out. We're going to building where there are people injured by thousands today, and we're going to enter to the door in the power of God, and we're going to tell the people to come out and stand. People missing leg, we're going to order those legs to come out. My brothers, we're going to go through the hospital. We're going to visit, my brother and sister, hallelujah, every single hospital, every single nursing home. We're going to visit people's home. Wherever people are needed, wherever people need the power of God and need to see the miracle of God, we are going to be sent by Jesus to go and minister to them, my brother and my sister, in order, hallelujah, order things to be, and immediately they come to be. Right now, he is preparing us. Right now, he is making us ready. His anointing, hallelujah, powers in our life. His gifting, he is gifting us, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord, to do so much. So I spend time with the Lord. I've been asking him for gifts. And he's been giving me gifts and giving me gifts. And I keep asking, Lord, your word says in Ephesians 4, you took captivity captive and gave gift unto men. Your word says, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And those gifts were for ministry, to go do ministry, to reach out the lost, to reach out the sick, to minister to those that need to see God, to be real in their life. My brother and sister, those are the days to come. The days of Elijah. Elijah walked over water. Elijah was taken home by a whirlwind. We're going to be moving faster than Elijah. We're going to see more miracles than Elijah. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. Some of us are going to fly. I'm going to fly in the power of God. I'm going to think about going to Rome. I'll be in Rome instantly in Greenland. My brother and sister, in any country. Whenever people need me, whatever the Lord wants me to be, Jesus has shown me in the vision several times, me flying and the speed of thought being there in second to minister to the multitude, to minister to the people, even to one person if it needs. One person needs a miracle from God, and we're going to go there in the power of God, my brother and sister, and see the power of God in display. No weapon can stop us. No government can stop us. No weapon formed on us will prosper. My brother and sister, the days are coming. The days are coming. Lord, give them a witness in this spirit of what you want to do, of what you are about to do, what you're getting ready us to do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, give them a confirmation in the spirit. Please confirm to them the plan of God, the plan of God that will be unveiled soon. In Jesus' name I pray. Mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, give them a witness, Lord. Give them a witness, Holy Spirit. Please give them a witness, Lord Jesus. Give them a witness of what you're going to do through us, how you're going to change us, how you're going to transform us. They can experience your real power, your real anointing. No more story. No more story. The true power of God is about to be in this place on this earth, to the four corners of the earth, from north to south, east to west. In Jesus' name, mighty Lord, mighty God, thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. It's coming. It is coming. He's going to this place. His glory to him. He wants people to truly experience his power, his anointing, his miracle work. He's going to provide clothing, food to the multitude. You'll be in Africa. You'll be in Ghana. You'll be, hallelujah, praise you, Lord, in any place of Africa. And you'll stand before millions of people hungry. And you say, bring me all the empty pot. Get the tables ready. Get the tables ready. Because you're going to eat today. Each and one of you are going to eat and give glory to God. And you're going to pray an endless food at table will appear before them. Whatever they want to eat, they want to eat meat. Meat will be cooked on the table. Fish. You never ate fish. You're going to have, hallelujah, hundreds of thousands of fish cooked on the table for them to eat. My brother and sister. But some of them will be speaking in tongues and dancing and thanking God. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. Whatever they need to go into feed, we're going to have an awesome time. It's the Lord, get you ready. Let Jesus, let the Holy Spirit work in your life to get you ready for such a time that is coming. Hallelujah. They never heard it. They never seen it. These are the things that God has prepared for them to love him. These are the things he wants you and I to use you and I, my brother and sister, in the days to come. Get ready. Get ready. Hallelujah. Start fasting, repenting, crying out to God. Ask the Lord to anoint you and gift you and use you where you are. Where you are, he will shake in the land. He will shake in the people. People will come knocking on your door. Brother, brother, sister, sisters, we have more people that are hungry. Can you come and pray for more food? And you'll be yes. You'll say yes, yes, yes. The Lord will give us what we need. And you'll go and you'll present the plan of salvation to them. You'll tell them that a holy Lord had calling people to repentance, but humanity had not had the time to listen, to be following the richest of men, the richest of this world. And this is why the economy has fallen. This is why our government had no money. This is why company had closed down in our country suffering so much. Because the Lord is merciful and wants to show his mercy upon people. As long as people can trust in company and the stock market and government, they will not truly seek the Lord. They will not truly trust the Lord. But the Lord is doing all this because he loves us. He wants us to experience his real power. He loves people. He wants them to be saved. But if they keep trusting in government and money and company, they will not seek the Lord. They will not serve the Lord. But when the Lord bring all these systems down to the floor and destroy them, to come, my brother and sister, then people will say, all right, Lord, I'm here, Lord. Do with me whatever you want, Lord. Lord, Lord. You destroyed California, Lord. You destroyed Chicago. Look at New York. It's useless, Lord. Lord, here am I, Lord. We have no economy, Lord. Now I'm here. Now I listen, Lord. Speaking, I say, when we're here, Lord. When they began to see the government of the world and the riches of the world being destroyed, all these systems falling and destroyed, becoming nothing, and there's only God in heaven with his arm open to love them and help them and save them, then, my brothers and sisters, they'll say, oh, Lord, only you, oh, Lord, oh, God, can save, can supply, can heal, can restore, oh, Lord. Hear my, oh, Lord. People, as the Lord showed me, I remember that great vision. Hallelujah. The Lord brought this judgment over the United States. And it was so much destruction. He showed me. From California to Massachusetts, I saw the destruction. I knew it came all the way from California, the earthquake, to Massachusetts. The whole United States was shaken so violently. And most of the buildings and how you could not live in a building anymore because all these cracks in the building, all the foundation was shaking and like a drunken. So no building had a good foundation. People had to stay away from buildings. My brother, 3, 4, 5 floor building, everyone has to stay away because all the foundations are cracked, are damaged, are unsafe. So the authorities are going to tell people, look, you cannot go into that building. Everything is damaged. And we're not going to have the money. We're not going to have the trillions of dollars to restore New York, to restore Chicago, to restore Vegas, to destroy Miami, to restore Miami, to restore Florida. We're not going to have all this money. Look at California. We cannot even restore California. People were giving up on the cities. That's what God wants. God wants to bring everyone to their knees. He's going to destroy the city. Matthew 22 tells you clearly. He has sent his servant twice to tell them to get ready for the wedding. But they were not here. And then he got angry and destroyed their city. Read it in Matthew 22. He's going to destroy all these cities that we know. London, New York, hallelujah, San Francisco. He's going to destroy all these cities because people are not listening to him. He knew that he will have to send his messenger to earth more and more and more, and they will not listen. They will not listen because they are so focused on how much money the United States makes, how much millions are being made every day. My brother and sister, hallelujah, and all these cities, hallelujah. Matthew 22:3, he sent for his servant to call them that were invited to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, he sent boy for her. He sent his other servant saying, tell them that I invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling, I kill. All things are ready. Come to the marriage. But they were made light of them, made a light, and went their way to his own farm, in order to his merchandise. And the renter took his servant and treated them spitefully and slew them. This is why many Christians are being killed. And I ran. Verse 7. What is the next step that the King Jesus needs to make in order to get their attention? Here it is. Verse 7. Well, when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He was angry, like he is now. I have spoken to Jesus in a few months, in the last few years, when it's been in regard to what's happening. My brother and sister, he says to me the other day, they're not listening. Very serious. He's been very serious in regard to this, just like in Matthew 22. My brother and sisters, okay? Hallelujah. But when the king heard thereof, he was wrath, angry. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers. Burned up the city. Hallelujah. And he said unto his servant, the wedding is ready, but they were invited were not worthy. When people reject to be getting ready for the wedding of Jesus, they are not worthy. They're not worthy. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And some people can look at it and say, well, he's giving up on people. No, he's not. He lost his creation. But you can see in the judgment how many perish. How many are saved also. Because sometimes we only talk about those that perish, but about those that are unsaved. Because some people are saved. And if they're in the city, and the city are destroyed, then they go home to be in with God. They're safe. My brothers, so many are safe, but most all of them are destroyed. When the judgment comes to Florida, San Francisco, California, Chicago, I had a sister said to me a few days, judgment is coming to Chicago. My brother and sister, the Lord is saying in Chicago, judgment is coming. It's coming to Vegas. It's coming to other state. My brother, God is speaking in other state about judgment coming to other state. They are stay ready for destruction. My brother and sister. Okay? We need to, hallelujah. My brother and sister, have that knowledge and understanding. Because the day are coming where God is going to use us to help people. We need to be ready. Why are we here, hallelujah, seeking the Lord? We need to stay together and continue to call the Lord on our meeting, his presence, his anointing, for him to continue to get us ready for the days to come. Because we're being prepared. We're being made ready, my brother and sister, for the days to come. Because he's anointing us. He's gifting us to pray for food and it will appear. To pray for clothing, it will appear. My brother and sister. See, I didn't know until the Lord showed me when he took me to the Great Tribulation that we can also pray for clothing until we're dead. And he made all that clothing appear for these people. Right, their size and everything. We didn't have to ask them, what size are you? We didn't have to ask those questions. All we had to do was pray for clothing. And when they put on the clothing, it was exactly their size. My brother and sister, awesome. The Lord is so awesome. So a lot of things that people are worrying and concerned, they should not. That's why if we worry, we sin. Because God knows what we need before we even ask. He just wants us to be ready that he will use us to pray for the need of those that have the great need, those that will have the great need. Because people that are going to lose their home, and all their money in the stock market are going to really need our help, or they will kill themselves. The devil will deceive them and say, look, you lost everything. Take your life now. How are you going to live without? You used to be rich. Now you're poor. How are you going to live like that? No. And then there comes us, the work of God through us. No, listen, don't take your life. If you need clothing and food, God will provide it. We're here to help you. Praise the Lord. Because a lot of people, you're going to have to lead them by the hand. Not to lead them by the leg. Like Jesus said to the disciples, follow me. That's him leading them. God's going to use us in a similar way. We're going to have to say to people, follow me. Where are we going? No way. God's leading us somewhere. You have food. You have clothing. Don't worry about it. What do you work for? Clothing and food. God will provide us. Hallelujah. And God will provide a shelter. God will provide a place. I know here in North Carolina, God is providing a shelter for 5,000 people. But there are other shelters here in North Carolina that God is providing already. God is touching the heart and speaking to people, to his prophet in North Carolina and Georgia, South Carolina, even in Texas and different states, to put shelter together for his children. And some people are moving on this. They're moving. There are pages of Westside Online of people that are being led by God to prepare shelter for people that are going to become homeless very soon. And this is when the stock market falls here in the United States. And so we'll be around the world too. How about my brother began in Colombia to be a support for thousands? For him to be anointed and gifted, people in Colombia will come to him and need food and clothing. He'll say, let's gather together, let's hold hands, and let's pray now around this table. And all that food appear for all these people. And you then can tell them, look, where this came from, there's more endless supply. God's been getting us ready for this. That's why I'm here, and you are here this time. Because God has been choosing us before the foundation of the earth to do these miracles through you and I. All we have to say is, God, I'm here. Speak, your servant will listen. And be available for him. Be willing to listen to him and do what he's commanding us to do. You are where you are, Brother Miguel. You are where you are, Sister Luna. Hallelujah, Sister Rivero. Each and one of you, Brother Joseph, each and one of you are where you are, Brother Estrada. Jesus, my rock. Each and one of you in different country, in different state, to meet the need of the people around you. And God will raise you. And God will anoint you and gift you. What do you do with the gift? Just feed you and your family? No. He's going to pour those gifts soon. Soon. God will give it to you if you ask. If you say, God, use me, here am I. Give me and anoint me for this. Anoint me for food supplying miracle, miraculous, and clothing supply miraculous, Lord. Through my hand, Lord, bring food to the hungry and clothing to the naked. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. And you fast and pray for us. And God will fail you not. And the moment comes, economy in Colombia is going to fall, in the United States, in Canada, in all the countries listening in Mexico, the economy are going to fall. But God has chosen you. God has chosen you and I to be there for the people, to give them a word of hope, and to say, let's gather together around this table because God will provide the food for today for us to eat. And you will be full and satisfied. You will not go to bed hungry because God will provide all the food that you're going to need, all the clothing that we are going to need, my brother and sister. Those are the gifting and anointing he's given us in the days to come. But you have to say, here am I, O Lord, use me. Here am I, O Lord, use me. I want you to use me, Lord. Prepare my heart and my life, Lord. And you fast. And you pray, hallelujah. Here's what the Lord reminded me the other night. When you fast and you pray, promise, it means that you are sincere to be used by him and that you want him to use you. He says to me that those that will fast Hallelujah. Those that will get ready, thank you, Lord, he will use. But those that will fast, he says, they are sincere. Thank you, Lord. I just heard the Lord say yes. As I'm saying the word, I heard the Lord speaking to me. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's like I want to be quiet and let him speak. Thank you, Jesus. Because I can hear him. I can hear him confirming the word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He will gift you, he says. If you fast and pray and ask him sincerely, he will anoint you and gift you and use you. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. He will. Hallelujah. He's speaking from his throne. I can feel the anointing so powerful on my leg. And thank you, Lord, over me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I'm meditating on the word, and he just spoke it to me. Because he was speaking to me. Praise the Lord. But since I didn't know for when, he says it's for now, he says. He just says to me, it's for now, this word. Don't speak it. It's for now. It's the word for now. He wants me to say to you, fast, pray, ask him for the gifting and the anointing. He says, I will give it to you. He says to me, thank you, Lord. He will give you these gifts. He will give you the anointing. My brother, my sister, hallelujah, to use you in the days to come. He will use you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Remember, we had the corporate fasting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you join us in the fasting, we'll pray for you that the Lord will give you this week, Lord, give them strength, Jesus, and help them in their fasting. Monday, hallelujah, Wednesday and Friday. But those that will fast, Lord, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday also, Lord, give them the strength. Even Saturday and Sunday, Lord, give them the strength, the anointing, and the gifting. He said he'll give you the gifting and the anointing if you ask him in fasting. Praise the Lord. That is the gifting. He says to multiply the food. The anointing gift to multiply the food and clothing. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And he will use you. He will use you. He said, yes, he will use you. He will use you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He was talking to me about all these things, and I didn't know. My brother insisted. He was just speaking them to me a few days ago. And like, you never know for when, but he always chooses the moment. He knows when he wants us to speak something from him that is important to him. He was speaking it to me. And now tonight I understand what he was saying. He said, yes. Yes, it's for tonight, he says. My brother and sister. So those that are listening, that are need to plan to fast and pray, to ask the Lord for the gifting and anointing. He said, yes, anointing, he says. An anointing and a gift, gifting, because he's going to use us, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Especially he has chosen people here at the Lord's Tower, my brother and sisters. I don't know everything, remember. I learned what Jesus tells me is how I learn things as I go about. Over the year, he's been speaking to me about these things. And it's where I get my understanding from the Lord. I don't know everything. I learn from him. He is my leader. He is my teacher. He is my guide. Whatever he says it is. And he brings things to pass amazingly. When he promised then, he says amen. He makes a promise. He is faithful. He brings them to pass. I remember when he led me to a few states to do ministry a few years ago, and the people he had me giving them a word, they let me know, they emailed me on the miracle that God did, like gift a miracle, a lay hand and miracle. The, remember the daughter that the Lord had me in Washington lay hand, the mother contacted me, or had the daughter contact me to tell me in the email what God did afterward. A few days afterward, they went to this person that was really sick, and God healed the person instantly, and God continued to do miracle. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. And it's been, God did this to a lot of people. He gifted them. Through me, he uses me and gift them, my brother and sister. Now he's saying through fasting, he's going to gift you. Hallelujah. And you will ask for these things, and he will do them when they are needed. The food and the clothing will appear. Give all glory to Jesus, my brother and sister. No matter what you see the Lord do through your hand, all glory goes to him. Remain humble. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Remain humble, and he will give you more and use you more. All glory goes to him. We are only his servant and sons and daughter, my brother and sister. And everything he's doing, because he already planned it. That's why when he was talking to me about this week, I at the moment, it took me a while to begin to understand what he was talking about. But it was this message tonight to begin to anoint people and prepare them, he wants to, through fasting and prayer. Because he said if they will fast, they are sincere, and they will receive. And he said tonight they will be anointed and gifted to be used to multiply the food. He will use them to multiply the food and clothing. My brother and my sister, that will be awesome. I'm sure I'm going to hear a great report from people about this. And as soon as I hear, hallelujah, when this economy begins to fall, I'm going to rejoice. If there's no internet, because we know the internet is going to come down, my brother and sister, hallelujah, and a lot of things, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We are being prepared because the Lord's hour, when the internet goes down and there's no service for months or even years, then you have to go out with the Lord to do ministry and rejoice. And if you can send me a letter and let me know the miracle that God is doing in your town, in your country, in your city, that will be awesome. Our days are few. I'm being honest with you. Our days are few, my brother and sister. Whatever God is going to do, he's going to do soon. Our days are short up on this earth. The shofar, the trumpet is about to sound. The Lord is going to raise his people out of this earth. Hallelujah. But before we go, there will be miracle and great sign by the mercy of God and the Lord. By bringing our economy down in the many countries, will open the door for people to receive miracles and signs from God that God's going to do through our hand. My brothers and sisters, I thought I was not going to see these things, but the Lord said, you've been chosen, my son, to be part of it. Amen. Let his will be done. Praise you, Lord. We are going to see this. We're going to rejoice. We're going to praise God. But we are going to walk the hospital, nursing home, and whatever we are needed. A multitude of people will be healed at the same time. Right when people are losing hope and think nothing is going to happen, God is raising us and preparing us for all these miracles and signs and wonders to come to pass right before their eyes. We don't need to point to nobody else but Jesus. Hallelujah. And like Moses, they're going to see the mighty power of God in display right in front of them. These are the days that are coming. Hallelujah. And you and I have been chosen, my brother and sister. John 8:46, which of you convict me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, hear my word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Imagine this, the religious people, the leaders, the congregation leaders, were not of God in the time of Jesus. Jesus says to them, my brother and sister, they had the Bible and the Torah, the scroll, reading it to the people, leading them supposedly to God. And Jesus said they were not of God. That's why there's so much false teaching. Because a lot of people have been trusting in men more than trusting in God, my brother and sister. And we are supposed to be trusting in God, not in men. Verse 48, Then the Jew answered and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me, he says. Hallelujah. People believed that they were honoring God, but they were not honoring Messiah. They were not honoring the Lord. They were honoring one another, but not the Lord. Verse 50, I seek not my own glory. Here's the key. I seek not my own glory. When you do ministry, you don't seek your own glory. You don't seek for people to say, oh, how well, awesome. That was so powerful. You raised all those people from the dead. No, God raised all those people from the dead through my hand. God did some miracle. God did the sign. Pointing to God, God, God. Give God the glory. I seek not my own glory. There's one that seeketh in Judges. Hallelujah. See what happened? When you don't seek God's glory, what did Jesus say that people do? My brother and sister, when you don't seek, hallelujah, there's one that seeketh in Judges. They seek to judge people, but not to give God the glory. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 51, if any man keep my saying, he should never see death. See, you don't need to be concerned about death a minute. My brother and sister, if you're doing God's will, hallelujah. If you keep God's word and you know he's in you, in our life, why worry you about dying? I remember one of the last time that I was dead. My brother and sister, I shared my testimony a long time ago. I was dead, but yeah, I was still alive. I have become a Christian, and God had allowed me to die, to see me out of my body dead. My body was dead, but I was yet alive. The Lord came, revived my body. I was back into my body. I was yet again alive. To man, they would have taken my body to the morgue and buried it. But the Lord did this to show me that he has the power of death and life. That no one can take our life. Our life is in his hand. That we don't need to fear death. I feared this so much years ago. And when he did that, he showed me. He had total control of that in life. We don't need to fear death. Now, brother and sister, verse 52. Then said the Jew unto him, Now we know that thou hast devil. Abraham is there in the prophet, and thou sayest, If many men keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are thou greater than our father, who is dead, Abraham, who is dead, the prophets that are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honor me. And who ye say, Hallelujah, he is your God. Yet ye have not known him. They preach about God every day in the synagogue, and they didn't know God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him. And keep his saying. My brother and sister, Jesus kept all the commandments of God. This is why he is at the right hand of Father. And been always at the right hand of Father. It has given such a blessing to me to bring so many people to Father through his death and Calvary. Because he is righteous. And always have been righteous and truthful, my brother and sister. Amen. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. There goes. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see. Notice that we say this was in the future that Abraham saw. Yes, but notice how the past and the future was one when you walk with God. Abraham saw Jesus being walking on the earth and even being crucified. Because if he didn't see Jesus being crucified, how can he say to his son Isaac, my son, God will provide a lamb unto himself, he said, when he was going to crucify Isaac. He knew by faith that he didn't need it to kill his son, that God will provide a lamb unto himself. He prophesied. That was a prophecy because it was to come. He prophesied that God will provide a lamb unto himself. So when he grabbed a knife, when he laid
his son on the wood, on the altar, to kill him. He knew he didn't have to kill him. He was just waiting until God will speak. And what saith Messiah from the air, the angel of the Lord? Harm not the child Abraham. Hallelujah, because you've been found righteous. He could not harm Isaac. God will not allow him to harm Isaac. He didn't have to harm Isaac because the lamb was not Isaac, it was Jesus. God had already provided a holy, righteous, pure, perfect lamb unto himself, my brother and sister. Born of a woman, hallelujah, grow until he was 33, and then he was crucified, my brother and my sister. He fulfilled God's law. He fulfilled God's plan. He fulfilled God's righteousness. Hallelujah. Through him, many are pardoned. And that's you and I for what he did on the cross. Because he is holy and he is righteous. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my days. He saw it and it was glad. Then said the Jew unto him, thou art not yet 50 years of old, and thou hast seen Abraham. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. There you go. Hallelujah. Why would I tell the children of Israel? Whom would I tell the children of Israel that sent me? What is his name? Tell them that I am, that I am. Hallelujah. I am the first, and I am the last. I am that I am. I am the first, and I am the last. They will see me from first, from Genesis, and they will see me through Revelation also. I am that I am. Thank you, Lord. You are awesome. Then they took up stone to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went to the temple, going through the midst of them, so passed by. Notice, he hid himself. He was walking among them, and they could not see him. Because they can only see him when he wants to show himself to them. A lot of people think that the Lord covered himself like he do in the movie and then began to hide himself. Not so. When the disciple were in the middle of the ocean and the weather began to turn really bad, they saw one coming walking on the water. When they look at him, who do they think he was? He thought he was a ghost. They thought he was a spirit. They were going crazy because he was coming out of nothing, as we say, into something. He was coming out of the invisible world into the visible world, my brother and sister. And they thought he was a ghost. All these imagination came to the mind. And he says, it's not a ghost, it's not a spirit, it is I. And then they're like, wait a minute. It's the Lord. A moment he looked like a ghost. In another moment, wait a minute, it's the Lord that we can touch, we can see and touch. He walked among them, and they could not see him. It was not, he hid himself, my brother and sister. He made himself where they could not see him because no one has the power to take my life, he says. I lay it down and I can bring it up again. He is totally in control. He is God in heaven. He is God on earth. No one can touch him and he doesn't want to be touched. No one can see him unless he wants to be seen, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. In order for me to see him, he had to show himself to me. He had to make me able to see him because he can walk among us. He's right here with me. I can feel his presence, but I cannot see him. But if he opened my eyes, of course I can see him. Thank you, Lord. Right now I can say he hid him from me. I can feel his presence. I know he's here. He says to me, yes, I am. Praise the Lord. But I cannot see him. He wants me to see him. Praise the Lord. And in the time he wants me to see him, he opens my eyes and I can see him, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. The Lord loves us, my brother and sister. All things are possible with him. Begin to fast and pray and begin to ask him my brothers and sisters, because people have been focusing on so much material of this world that the relationship with God is not there. God has been working with you and I to use us where they, what they don't have with God, they can begin to have through repentance. Because right now they're so focused on the stock market and money and riches and the home, God's going to take away their money. God's going to take away their riches. God will also take away their home, their nation, their government, and leave them without nothing. But he's only given us, you and I, to help us to lead them to Christ. My brother, my sister, get ready. We are in the last days. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. There's nothing but judgment, but also judgment to the world, but preparation for you and I to be ready for the coming of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
And alimureke and otula majite cruti izino lumure visheki la pote e no 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 ti le parla di lupo pote machela visule te che di musa te popole abaste ti gele mukra
I worship you.
Well, the time has come for you to take some big steps.
Working in
big steps.
I worship you.
That will cause a great change of scenery in your life. And now the mountains shall be removed and hindrances shall be removed, and things are turning even now, for the goodness of God shall be manifested. So lift up your hands and lift up your eyes, for the glory of God shall be revealed, and there shall be an increase measure that shall come upon you, and you'll shake off the dust of the past and arise and shine, for the glory of God shall be revealed. And I'll dress you up in some new clothes, saith the Lord, and give you access to my presence, and you'll enter into a new day, for I have turned your captivity, and now your mouth is filled with laughter.
You never stop. You never stop.